All right, Sunday Night Football now, offering us up a good one. Baker and the Browns hosting Jared Goff and the Rams. Good test for both teams. According to Fox Bet, the Rams are 3-point favorites despite being on the road. Baker, who's been answering questions all week about his team's slow start, knows this will definitely be a challenge.
They're a team that made it all the way, and they have a lot of the same guys and some added pieces as well. So, yeah, it's a good measuring stick for us, but it's about what we do. It's about the fact that we know it's going to be a great challenge, but when it comes down to it, we need to focus on us. We don't need to worry about anything else besides doing our job and whatever game plan we have to attack their team and their players that they have. We need to accomplish that.
So you see, this is a Browns team that has so much talent, but they've yet to put it all together in one complete package. You expect the Browns to start clicking this weekend against the Rams?
Well, they better start. I mean, I'm not supposed to be looking at the schedule as a former player, but every once in a while, you take a little peek out there on the yonder and see what's out there.
On the yonder.
Yeah, nothing but bad news for them. It's that time. We're going to give teams mostly 4 weeks. But, man, you can start getting into dangerous territory. In the first month of the season, you go 1-3. I didn't like Baker's comments about the Rams saying this should be a good test because I want some consistency. Every week he should be saying it's going to be a good test. Yes, the Rams did go to the Super Bowl. Yes, they have been double-digit win teams the last couple seasons. Yes, this will be a good test. But so were the Tennessee Titans week number one. Now, the Tennessee Titans team I saw last night, that's the team that whooped you in week number one. So I'm concerned about the overall physicality because, yes, they've gotten a lot of headlines this offseason. Baker, Odell, all these little shiny little things. Football's a game of physicality. In the first 2 weeks of the season, I have not seen the Cleveland Browns be the type of physical team that they were the second half of the season when Freddie Kitchens took over, where they were running the ball down people's throat. Their offensive line was one of their strong suits. No, not that way. They're not running the ball effectively, and that offensive line has been a tremendous liability, which has led to Baker getting off to a sluggish start. So physicality is a huge part of it. And they got a lot of little star players and everything. But if they're big people on that offensive line and they don't play a little more discipline without all those penalties, they will not win. And you can watch this fan base that's trying to get behind this team that has witnessed them lose a lot of games. You let them go 0-2 at home, barely getting past a Jets team that the quarterback's out with the high school kissing thing. And
next quarterback gets injured in the game.
Yeah, he tears ligaments in his ankle. He's out for the season. So it could get real, real scary as far as Baker because they won't have any support. Let this game get out of hand. Watch what the Cleveland fans do to them, and this could be ugly. That's that tough part, Jenna, that we were talking about before the season. What do they do when they go through a bad month of football because they're so young?
And to your point about what they have coming up, 5 straight games against 5 teams that are right now all 2-0. Rams at Baltimore, at San Francisco, home for Seattle, at New England. So this is the meat of their season right here, the most difficult stretch of their season. And if that's 5-game stretch, only 2 of those games are at home, so you want to take advantage of that. Your point about Baker, to misquote, if I may, Marshall Mathers, will the real Baker Mayfield please stand up?
I know what
this
you did
is
there.
Yeah, thank you, Jenna. Real Slim Shady. There
yep.
You go. Exactly right. I mean, this is not the guy I saw the last half of last year.
No.
This is not the guy that I said could be a dark horse MVP candidate. This is not a guy that is taking full advantage of the most talent he's had on a roster in his young NFL career. Now, we saw he and Odell hook up nicely in that Jets game, and I know that he's running for his life some, mm-hmm. So it's not entirely his fault. But Baker Mayfield's got to be better. The reason, in my estimation, that they are not right now 2-0, even if it would be an ugly 2-0, is because of that just atrocious quarter of football he played against the Titans. They had grinded back into that football game to only be down 2 points with the ball against Tennessee, and then all of a sudden you have 3 straight interceptions, including a pick six, and the season gets off to a terrible start. Yeah, they're going to have to block Aaron Donald. But the truth about the Rams defense is They've got Aaron Donald. They have two corners with great names and good ability. And aside from that, that defense can be had. Carolina scored 27 on them with a hampered Cam Newton. Like, the defense last week was a bit, to me, a little different because the Saints lose Drew Brees middle of the game. That offense is going to come to a grinding halt. Mm-hmm. So I think the defense can be had if you can block Donald. And Aaron Donald, by the way, his last five games,
hasn't done much.
Zero sacks, 13 pressures. So while I'm sure he's freeing up other people, Dante Fowler's come on this season. Like, he's making it easier for other people. If you can block Donald, you should be able to move the football. And that's what I'm relying on the Browns to do, because the talent on this team, they have talent on both sides of the ball. But you've got a top-flight wide receiver, another very good wide receiver, and a player that I believe is going to be a top-flight quarterback. He just hasn't shown it yet.
You look at this Browns team, they were mired in penalties. They've got issues on their offensive line. And then there's Baker Mayfield. So just stick with Baker, because that's Baker. It's the popular topic right now. Break down what he's not doing right or what he could be doing better. Is it just that he's holding on to the ball too long? Is he not reading coverages? Just give us an idea of what he's doing that is different from what he did last year.
Well, as Nick stated, he had an awful quarter. He made a couple bad throws trying to force balls in the tight spots. So it is a coverage recognition thing. But if he doesn't have a clean pocket, the reason why we love Baker from his the abbreviated season number one was he's so accurate with the football. And that has not been there. It's hard to be accurate when you can't step into your throws. And OBJ is not the reason, Jenna, why he's playing bad. OBJ is playing to the level that we've seen him. He was the only bright spot in that loss to the Titans in week number one. He was outstanding on the Monday night game. So to me, clean up the pocket, which starts with the running game. When Freddie Kitchens took over last year, we didn't know what they were going to do, but their identity was Nick Chubb, run the ball, play action pass, Baker Mayfield and his accuracy. Now they have OBJ. Are they falling too much in love with trying to throw the ball down the field compared to solidifying that offensive line, which we see a lot of teams struggling with their offensive line play early in the season, Nick?
And that is in this game, just to flip the sides for a moment, that is where the Browns should be able to take advantage of the Rams to a degree. We have seen this year already defenses starting to adjust to the Goff-McVay combination. You've seen teams, if you watch the NFL game rewinds of these, even if it's tough to see in real time, defense is waiting until there's less than 15 on the play clock and then doing a bunch of shifting, waiting until McVay can't give Goff the cheat codes anymore and then trying to confuse him. And you've got 2 second-year players starting on the offensive line for the Los Angeles Rams. We know the Browns have 3 very solid defensive linemen, including one superstar in Myles Garrett, even if he's penalized too often, even if he's committing too many penalties, I should say. The Browns defense is going to have to hold up its end of the bargain in this, but that they've done that through 2 weeks. It doesn't seem like it because the first week the Titans scored 40, but that game they had 15 going into the fourth quarter, and then the floodgates opened because of the turnovers. The Browns defense was extraordinary in week 2. Brown Stevens going to have to keep that up, and it is up to Baker and the offense to hold up their end of the bargain.
You know, I know more than one Slim Shady song. Are you ready for what's ahead? You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 World's Most Ethical Companies by the Ethisphere Institute. Protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting, that's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for your future, or visit www.pacificlife.com. This we know. No Drew Brees this Sunday on the road to face the Seahawks. He's still out with the injured thumb. Who will replace him? Well, that we don't know. Sean Payton has yet to name a starter, whether that's Teddy Bridgewater or Taysom Hill. He does have Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas on offense to help out whoever ends up behind center. Chris Carter, can the Saints stay in the playoff hunt without Drew Brees?
Oh, this is going to be a tough task. This is going to be tough. They have to make sure that they don't put too much stress on Teddy throwing the ball down the field, try to manage the game, because they should be able to keep this game fairly close with their defense. The Saints do have a good defense. They're going to be able to put a lot of pressure on Russell Wilson. This is not one of the more sophisticated offenses, Nick.
No.
Not one of Nick Wright's favorite game teams to watch, even though Russell's one of his favorite guys to watch. Yep. So keep the game close. The Saints have tremendous special teams. Let Teddy get a feel for the game, because starting the game is totally different. I do like the fact that Sean Payton, old school, I'm not giving people too much information. I'm not telling them what the game plan is. Let Pete Carroll and them sweat it out. Let their defense this week, if there's 100 defensive plays that they can have in practice, we want them to practice 50 for Taysom Hill and 50 for Teddy Bridgewater, compared to announcing the starter on Tuesday, allowing Pete and them to have their game plan to be, you know something, we're going to do 90% Teddy and only 10 on the backup quarterback. So that advantage of not knowing is an advantage that Sean Payton, he is utilizing that, and they will have some surprises. I wouldn't be surprised if Taysom Hill played quarterback at least 15 plays in the game.
Wow.
Typically, you have 65 plays. I believe 15 plays minimum, Sean Payton gets him involved. Not because he doesn't believe in Teddy, because he is a legitimate offensive threat running it and throwing it, Nick.
And whether he lines up under center for 15 plays is one thing. I would imagine he'll be on the – there'll be a lot of plays where Teddy and Taysom Hill are on the field at the same time.
Yes.
If you remember last year, there was a play where Drew Brees, Teddy, and Taysom, all three of them were on the field at the same time. Didn't know what the hell was going on. Here's what the Saints have going for them, even though I think they're going to lose this weekend. Going to Seattle is hard for anyone, much less for Teddy Bridgewater, who's making his first true start. He started week 17 last year, but his first true start in since the knee injury, essentially, as far as a game that really matters in 4 years, is that all of a sudden the NFC South, who, like, if you are 3-3, are you still alive for the division? Probably. Carolina's 0-2 and quarterback injury. Atlanta, we've seen them hot and cold this year. They're fortunate. They needed a 4th-and-3, brilliant play by Julio Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And Tampa, I know they just won. They still have Jameis as their quarterback. They're still going to have issues. So the division that I thought could potentially produce at least two, if not three, playoff teams, all of a sudden, just two games into the year, looks a little different. So they don't have to play great. But the most important thing for this game against the Seahawks to me, see, is Teddy Bridgewater getting some confidence. Teddy has not played a great stretch of football, even a couple series in a row, since that knee injury. He now is going to be relied on. I know they haven't announced him as a starter. He's going to be the starter. Going to be relied on as the starting quarterback for at least a month in New Orleans. Even if you don't come away with a win, if Teddy can start to get his legs under him to a degree, then all of a sudden you're like, okay, we've got a tough stretch after this with Dallas, but then we have Tampa Bay, we have a game against Arizona a few weeks after that. Can you do enough with Teddy in this game so you feel better about Teddy over the next month? That, to me, is the key in this game for New Orleans, because going to Seattle's tough putt for anybody.
All right, let's move on and talk Eagles. The team opted for a walkthrough Wednesday instead of padded practice to help the guys heal and rest ahead of Sunday's game against the Lions. Despite the rest, Eagles will still most likely be without DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, and Dallas Goedert. However, according to Fox Bet, the Eagles are still 6-point favorites. See, should this banged-up Philadelphia team's offense be on upset alert against the Lions?
Absolutely. If I was them, I'd try to go to a little more ball control. I wouldn't be as extensively in three receivers as much, knowing that Alshon's injured, D-Jack is out. So what would you do? You got three running backs. I'm going with Jordan Howard in the trade from Chicago. I thought he was going to be one of the wild cards in the season. He should be a 1,000-yard rusher. Him, Miles Sanders, and Darren Sproles. I would have Darren Sproles to utilize to relieve some of that burden of my wide receiving core and put him in space. He is a nightmare in space to be able to get on the ground. So I believe that that's what Doug Peterson has to be able to do to be able to take some of the pressure off of Carson. I do think that this offensive line should get a little healthy against Detroit. Detroit doesn't have one of the better fronts that we've seen in the NFL. We know that Philly has struggled in the last couple weeks, but that's what you have to do, especially when you have guys injured. How do I adapt my offense? How do I protect my defense a little bit and eat up some of that clock? This is the type of team that Philly, you have to be able to become. Later in the year, weather starts to change. Can I adapt to the opposition? Can I adapt to the elements? Can I adapt to losing a player? You have the best roster in the NFL. Now is one of those kind of games where we should be able to see that depth, especially on the offensive side.
Now, what's going to hurt Philly, though, is because even though they have all this depth, for those three injuries that you mentioned to be pass catchers and it to be in Jeffrey and Deshaun, your two pass catchers who are your most dynamic down the field threats, it's going to shorten the field as far as what Detroit has to defend. Mm-hmm. And so I agree with you that they're going to have to run the ball and run the ball consistently, but you're going to probably be dealing with an extra man in the box. If Deshaun's out there even at 60%, you still worry about him beating you over the top. You don't worry as much about Nelson Aguilar beating you over the top. You don't really worry about Zach Ertz at all beating you over the top, even though he's an excellent receiver. So the field's going to be constricted. And here's the thing about Detroit, a team we basically never talk about. They have played seven quarters of extraordinary defense. They had held Arizona to nothing through three quarters before it fell apart.
Until they got gas.
Until they got gas because of the tempo, mm-hmm. How fast the running plays. They played a Chargers team that won 12 games last year, and that the reason people were maybe skeptical of the Chargers this year was defensive injuries. Nobody had worry about their offense. They held that Chargers team to 10 points last week. So they've played really good defense aside from that the breakdowns in the fourth quarter against Arizona in week one. I don't know about Matt Patricia, the head coach, but Matt Patricia, the defensive head coach, the defensive side of the ball, has got the Lions playing good football. And so you are now playing a Philly team whose offensive line is not playing up to its ability, whose doesn't have its deep threats. I think Philly's going to win. I want to make that clear. But it wouldn't be shocking if Detroit, who hasn't lost a game yet this year, comes out and wins this football game.
Which also adds to your point that time of possession is going to be key, running the ball and whatnot with the Eagles, right?
Yeah, they have to feel very comfortable with Fletcher Cox. And you mentioned him a couple days ago. It's time for Fletcher Cox to have a big game. It's time for that defensive front to be able to take over a game and dominate. If Philadelphia is going to reach their goals, and that as far as to get into the postseason, these are the types of games. You don't want to get to December and be looking back and be like, man, we know Aguilar catches that down the sideline, probably going to turn out different there in Atlanta. Oh, man, what about that week number three in Detroit? We end up against Detroit. It got away from us because let me tell you something. Those Dallas Cowboys now, they're for real.
And they're 3-0. I know the game hasn't been played yet. They play Miami, right? The Cowboys are 3-0. It just hasn't happened yet. So you lose this game. You're two games back at Dallas already in the season. One thing of note for optimism for Philly, Carson Wentz has been two different players, home and road. He has been league MVP Carson Wentz when he's playing at the Link. He's been okay Carson Wentz when he's playing on the road. The fact that this game's in Philadelphia is an enormous component for Carson as he tries to get back on the track we saw him on a couple years ago. Hiring can be a slow process. Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskowitz, needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applicants, so he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/approach. That's ZipRecruiter.com/APPROACH. ZipRecruiter.com/approach. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Back here first things first, and we're here with former NFL quarterback Danny Cannell. Hey, Danny.
How's
welcome.
It going?
What's up, man? Good
doing
to see
all right.
You.
It's good to be back. It feels like I haven't been here in a while.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
You have more hair than the last time I saw you, bro.
It's growing
nice
out.
Nice new glasses and everything. It's growing out.
But wait.
And what about my man?
I know. It looks sharp. It looks good, you know?
The promotion that was
sharp.
Caused because of Danny Cannell's shoes.
Oh, Danny, I mean, Danny has not come on this show wearing a pair of shoes that cost less than $1,000.
Oh, that's not true.
At
that's
any
not true.
Point.
You got to have hookups. You know, you got to
oh, okay.
have hookups. You
got to talk to the $1,000 for the common man. Danny Cannell just get them sent to him. I got you. I got
all
you.
All right, let's talk some football. You could say the hottest quarterback in the league thus far has been Lamar Jackson. Here's how I know. He has the highest passer rating right now in the NFL. He has yet to throw a pick, and he's put on about 20 pounds of muscle since last season, which makes me very happy. Danny, back in 2018, before the draft, you were very high on Lamar. Is this level of success right now sustainable from what we've seen from him this so far this season?
Absolutely. Lamar Jackson, and I've said this since he was coming out, is a franchise NFL quarterback. He will absolutely sustain this level of success. He has an offensive coordinator in Greg Roman, who, by the way, took Colin Kaepernick to the Super Bowl with the San Francisco 49ers, who is designing plays specifically for a quarterback with his skill set. But Lamar Jackson is Michael Vick 2.0. He's a better runner, and he is a much better passer when you look at accuracy, the ability to read out defenses, and to make the throws down the field. Now,
explain
the level of steps.
Explain why he's a better runner than Michael Vick.
So,
because it would appear that Michael Vick might be the fastest quarterback that ever played the game.
Correct, but I don't think Lamar is that much slower, but he also has a better knack for protecting himself, which is the one question, and I, you know, you're saying, I'm glad he put on the 20 pounds because he's going to be able to have to be durable at this level, but he has a knack, and I've played with some guys like this, not quarterbacks, but Warwick Dunn was a great example, a smaller running back who was fast, but he had a knack for not taking those big shots. There's an innate ability, a sense, like
tremendous
it's like a sixth
point.
Sense that you cannot coach where they kind of feel there's a presence. Okay, now's when I have to turn my body. Now's when I have to get out of bounds. Now's when I have to get rid of the football. And Lamar Jackson has that sixth sense where I do think he'll protect himself. Now, there's going to be some shots that he has to take, but I also think last year, as much as he was running the ball, he showcased that he can take some of that pounding that he would as a quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I think that one problem, and with the dual threat quarterback and with the African-American quarterback, is when they try to convert from being an athlete to being a quarterback, it seems like there's a lot of ego there. So in dealing with Lamar, and you got a lot of intel with Lamar. He's from down in South Florida, went to Louisville. You also believe in the coaching that he got there, that he was underrated coming out as a passer. What they're doing with him now, he wants to learn the passing game. At this point, no, he's not Colin Kaepernick. He's a lot better thrower than Colin. He doesn't have the height and everything, but he's a better runner as far as avoiding people than Colin Kaepernick was. And you can see, I did last week's game, going down there interviewing people, Lamar is working on everything that you would want a young quarterback who was a pocket quarterback to work on. Yes, he worked on his body a little bit as far as putting on some weight and everything, but everything else is by the book of how you would train your franchise quarterback. And you have to give, you mentioned Greg Roman, David Cooley is their new passing game coordinator, also coaches their wide receivers. They have done a tremendous job of coaching him up, getting him ready. And what we're seeing, I believe also, he can sustain this, and he is the best version. Greg Roman told me, don't compare him to Tyrod Taylor and don't compare him to Cap. We know both of these guys have had success in this league, but he is so much better than both of them in both areas as far as athleticism, running, and throwing, dissecting coverages, Nick.
And the one thing you said that I think some people would take issue with or disagree with, I think it's why Chris had you expand on it, is the idea that Lamar's a better runner than Vic. So if you're watching and you say, no, he's not, even if you disagree with Danny on that, he is so clearly right now a more polished passer than I saw Mike Vick at any point until he had that year in Philadelphia. It took Vick a decade and a time away from football and then time with Andy Reid until he showed me the ability to pass the way Lamar is throwing right is passing right now. So even if Vick was a 9.5 out of 10 on running and you think Lamar's an 8.5, the passing is so different. And there's a reason that Vick, despite all his brilliance at Virginia Tech, did not have nearly the statistical success as a passer Lamar did. Lamar's passing numbers in college were exceptional. Vic was special in college and early on because of the athleticism and the ability to throw a great deep ball. That's the one thing Vic always was able to do. Lamar has been showing this year the ability to throw into windows, the ability to connect with Hollywood Brown, who I know you were high on coming out of college, but Hollywood Brown and Lamar have not had a ton of time together. You talked about this when you were there this weekend. Hollywood Brown was injured during the offseason. It's obviously his first year, so they don't even have the full route tree or the full rapport of things they can do together, and they're still having this connection. Now, is he going to keep up the highest quarterback rating in the NFL? No, but he doesn't have to have taken three steps forward in 1 year, and it is something for Baltimore because the defense didn't go anywhere. In fact, they added Earl Thomas. The running game didn't go anywhere. In fact, they added Mark Ingram. That if he just took one step forward, this was the only team in their division that made the playoffs last year, that if he looks like he's taken two or three steps forward, this can be a real Super Bowl contender, and they're playing another Super Bowl contender this weekend.
I feel like you guys are trying to get me to walk back that he's as good a runner as Michael Vick. Wait
you
till the end of the season and talk to me. Because he is electric in a he's electricity in a bottle. Do we forget? I do think when we talk about statistics, at the end of the season, I think every quarterback should have an asterisk and you should have to remove the Dolphins game because it's going to be a stat patter for sure. But it's almost like we forget because he's passing now that he had 120 yards rushing last week.
Sure.
We're just kind of forgetting that he is such a dynamic runner. And he will have those plays that Mike Vick had, like he had against the Vikings and like he's running all over people. Mm-hmm. He will have those plays that are highlight reel type runs. They'll come in time. And in addition to the passing, the way they're using him in the passing game, watch out. He's going to be really tough to stop.
So quickly, what do you want to see from him against Kansas City now?
The way he's able to sustain this is be honest and take what the defense has given him. In Miami, they had 8 in the box, no safety in the gut, and they carved him up. They ran everything diagonal over the top with 0 coverage. Next week against Arizona, they took away a little bit of the passing game to begin with, and what he started doing was read option, I'm going to keep it. They did some play action. Later in the game, him and Hollywood hook up down the field. So read the defense. Week in, week out, you can't have this week I'm going to throw for 300. This week I'm going to run. Whatever the defense gives them, Greg Roman, Cooley are putting them in a great game plan. Believe what you're seeing, and he's going to continue to get more and more confident. When we see these young guys and they have success in the league, it's contagious. And then they start studying more. They want more of it. So I believe we're going to see more of the new Lamar Jackson as far as more days where he has 250 passing, 80 to 100 rushing. Ravens win a whole bunch of games like that, Danny.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.